And I'm going to ask, once the meeting is called to order, Chairman Holland, if everyone can actually put their name. And I'm going to say just their name for city people, your name and department for trustees. Just put your name and trustees behind it in the chat so we actually know who's in attendance at the meeting. That's a change from what we're used to for virtual meetings. But this way, this is captured in the actual chat and it becomes part of the recording. So Chairman Holland, you can call the meeting to order and we'll give people just a quick second for them, not second, 30 seconds for them to put their name and their title in the chat, and then we'll go ahead and proceed from there with introductions.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is the City of Tucson Trust Board. It was called to order. I think we have a quorum, but I'm not.
So hold on, Chairman Holland. You are muffled in your sound. So that's a little bit better. You do have a quorum. You have three members here present, unless I hear something different from Michelle Saavedra or Julie Hughes. The quorum has been established. So at this time, Chairman Holland, because we do have two presenters here, actually one presenter here from PFM, so that they can associate the name with the face. If we can start with just a brief introduction with your role on the trustee board, and we'll go around the room for the city staff, and then we'll proceed with the presentation from PFM. And at that time, I will ask Annette and if Luke is joining us to just give us a little background before they start their presentation.
Okay, thank you. I'm on my iPad in a borrowed office, so if I'm not able to be heard, let me know. I'll switch. This is Steve Holland. I'm the Chief Risk Officer at the University of Arizona and a member of the Trust Board and current.
Thank you, Chief Holland. Keith?
Hi, I'm Keith Domer. I'm a retired CPA, Pima County Finance Director, Arizona State Auditor for a few years, and a trustee now.
Nicole?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Nicole Lowry. I'm the Risk Manager for Tucson Unified School District and a trustee.
So we'll start with, I'm going to look here. I see that I'm wondering who this phone number is, 520-901-1000.
Mike Hanley.
So hi, Mike. Hanley. Mike, will you go ahead and provide a brief introduction?
Sure. Hi, I'm Mike Hanley. I'm retired president and CEO of Bank of Tucson and trustee.
Okay, let's start with the staff. We'll end up with Johanna, but it looks like we've got several staff on. So let's start with Sarah.
Sarah Hosek, Human Resources Manager over the Business Service Occupational Health and Leaves Division of HR.
So Sarah, I don't know if you can turn your camera on just so that we can associate the name with the face with your introduction. That would be great. Can you turn your camera on just for a hot second?
I've got a new computer, so I'm still trying to figure things out.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. That's appreciated. Then let's start with, let's go with Michelle.
Hi, Michelle Saavedra with the City Attorney's Office.
Julie
Hughes with the City Attorney's Office.
Joanna,
Management Assistant for Business Services Department Risk Management.
And we're going to end. It looks like Mr. Yates has joined us. Mr. Yates, what we've asked is that to associate the name with the face, turn on your camera, if you will, please, and introduce just a brief introduction in terms of Your name, of course, and your position on the trustee board.
Jeff Yates, I am the Director of Business Services. And I'm a member of the trustee board, right?
Yes, you are. Yes, you kind
among
of forgot
a whole bunch of other things, but that's right now that's where I'm operating.
All right, sounds like a plan. So Annette and Luke, you both know me, and I am the self-insurance trust board administrator, risk manager for the city of Tucson. And at this particular point in time, I'm going to turn the show over to you. What I ask is that you do provide just a brief introduction as to who you are. We know that you're with PFM, and then begin with the presentation. So I'll turn it over to you at this time. When you're ready to share the screen, I'm not sure if you're familiar with MS Teams, but there is an arrow at the top of your screen. If you click that arrow, give it a few minutes, select where you're going to be pulling that item from, and then it should appear on the screen. Okay, the show is yours.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Matthews. It's a pleasure to be here with everyone. I'm Luke Schneider, a director in PFM Asset Management's practice. Annette Gastone is a senior managing consultant. We're both based out of Arizona. Annette is based out of our Chandler office. I'm actually based out of our Tucson office. So it's nice to be local here. And we've had a longstanding relationship with the city going back to, I think, about 2010 now, when we first started working with the city on the operating funds, managing the fixed income portfolio for the city. And our relationship with the city has really grown through the years. We PFM has, and we're going to cover details about the firm in our proposal and in our presentation and give you an overview. But kind of the brief version of it is that we've been in business for over 40 years. We've customized our business around serving public entities and insurance pools like Tucson's insurance pool. And through working with the city, we've provided several different services. We did a review of the banking services for the city a couple years ago with our treasury consulting group, helped you reselect Wells Fargo with some changes along the way. We've been rehired a couple times for the fixed income portfolio since 2010, and then most recently for the 115 trust related to the PSPRS unfunded pension liability. So we've done quite a few different projects with the city, and now we're very excited to hopefully take on this project of helping manage the insurance pool assets on behalf of the city. So with that, Annette, I think we can go ahead and share I think the proposal letter would probably be the most concise presentation to show. We do have PowerPoint slides also, but happy to review those also if there's questions. But we figured we'd start with the proposal letter, Allie, if that's okay with you.
That's perfectly fine. If you will hit the highlights of that proposal letter in terms of the service deliverables, and one of the things that I think it's important for the trustees to know is that PFM does and has provided self-insurance trust board services to municipalities, not just in Arizona, but across the U.S. So this is an area of expertise for them. So it was a good choice for the city. So thank you, Jeff, for helping us make that decision. But I think that's key to start with. And if we can just hit the highlights, that would be great.
Perfect. So, Annette, if we could scroll up, please, to start. Thank you. Okay, so this is a proposal letter we put together. I'm just going to hit the highlights. You can see down at the very bottom of the page, we've been providing services for self-insurance trusts dating back to 1994. So we work with over 50 self-insurance trusts across the country, and including the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool. I've worked with them for about 6 years now on structuring their investments within the pool. For those of you who are not familiar, the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool essentially commingles these insurance pools for many of the smaller public entities in the state. So they don't manage their own program like the city does, but they commingle quite a few others. It's a similar structure overall, though. You can see PFM Asset Management had $164 billion in total assets. This was as of May 31st. We've continued to grow. You know, we think that's a testament to the great service we provide our clients. We are the leader in providing investment advisory services to public entities across the country. And we've continued to you know, invest in making sure that we're providing the highest level of service. So the customized liability driven approach, this is really what makes insurance pools unique and in our approach to managing insurance pool assets. So, you know, looking at the different insurance components of the pool, they have different claims histories, and as a result, as we're thinking about a fixed income portfolio, that really helps to drive our strategy. So, you know, there are some similarities between the city's operating funds in that the objectives will be first safety, second liquidity, and then third return, only after the safety and liquidity components have been met. However, as we're looking at the different pools of assets and we've started that analysis and we're really going to dive deep here in the coming weeks into the past actuarial reports. But essentially what we do is we look at the history of claims within each component of the pool. So as we understand it, there's a property insurance component. There's a workers' comp component. You know, we would likely have different portfolio recommendations for those different components. Again, we're in the preliminary stages of evaluating that. But essentially, if we look at the pool of assets, and it's probably best to explain it on what we've done with the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool, since that portfolio has been in existence for a long time. And again, we're just at the preliminary stages with your pool at this point in time. But what we did with the statewide pool is broke their total funds into two components. It was a property casualty component and a workers' comp component. With their portfolios, they had about $100 million in total. And of that $100 million, approximately $30 million was in surplus. So the surplus has a little more flexibility, but within the 70 that's remaining, essentially it was close to a 50-50 split between the two. But when we looked back at the property casualty claims history, the claims history generally went out to about a five-year maximum. And if we looked at that and taking into account any potential changes going forward, as a result, we structured the portfolio in a 1 to 5 year type of structure. The workers' comp portfolio was longer, similar to how the city has a longer component for the workers' comp. And as a result, that's invested in a 1 to 10 year type of structure. Now, it's likely that we will need to stick with ARS compliant state code with the city's portfolio. So the, you know, anything out past 5 years would be prohibited at that point. But again, we will customize the portfolio to the needs of the individual pool funds, which is an important point. And Annette, we can go ahead and move down the line. So again, we introduced ourselves. I'm Luke, and Annette is also on the line. And then you can see what our scope is. Annette, if you wanted to cover the some of the scope items here in terms of what the process will be in terms of the investment policy development and statements.
Oh, happy to, absolutely. So just looking at a bit of the scope of the work in the portfolio. So the firm and its affiliates are restricted from selling to the city or buying from the city, of course, any securities to or from that firm's own inventory or accounts. And that's standard across the board. We manage on a daily basis the city's separate investment portfolios specific to state statute, like Luke had mentioned. So ARS 35-323 is what governs Arizona portfolios. So we adhere to that state statute. We serve as a general resource to the city staff for any information, advice, and training. So meeting on a quarterly basis, providing any additional materials. We're always happy to provide anything additional that may be of need for any of the meetings. Additionally, working with the city staff to understand any of the cash flow projections. So very similar to the structure that we provided for AMRRP's portfolio, just understanding when those funds are needed and structuring a portfolio customized to make sure that we meet those needs. Additionally, providing monthly statements with all the information required by GASB notes. And then, of course, at the end of each fiscal year, we provide additional GASB notes if needed for that specific portfolio. And then additionally, we meet on a quarterly basis if that's what the city prefers. Typically, we meet on a quarterly basis to just provide updates on the portfolio as of the end of each quarter.
Yeah, I think that's really kind of the high level overview. We have more details on, again, our process for insurance pools and more information references. But you know, that's the high level. If there's any questions or if you would like any more detail on any of those, we're happy to go through those as well.
So one of the things, Luke and Annette, that we probably would want them to go through or understand from our perspective is the types of strategies. So you have several listed here, types of strategies that will be utilized in helping us make that decision as we look at the investment piece. Can you give a little bit more detail on that?
Sure. So within the Arizona revised statutes, investment opportunities are limited generally to high quality fixed income securities. So that includes treasury securities, agency securities, corporate bonds that have high credit ratings, municipal bonds that have high credit ratings. We do purchase some variants of corporate securities, such as asset-backed securities and some mortgage-backed securities. Most of the mortgage-backed securities are backed by agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And it's 5 years and under. So state code restricts investments out to 5 years. There may be an opportunity at some point, and this is something that we had talked about exploring at a later date of investing outside of ARS with a portion of the portfolio, if it's deemed permissible. That is something that the statewide pool was able to accomplish. So we're looking into how that was done and if there's any opportunity there. But initially, it will be limited to those 5 year and under high quality securities. And after we look through the actuarial report and come back with our detailed analysis, looking at claims history, that's when we will bring back a recommendation to this group and provide our analysis as well as our recommended portfolio structure at the time. So that recommended portfolio structure may vary between two main components. One is the maturity distribution. So there may be a period of time where when we're looking at the claims, we may recommend a 1 to 3 year type of benchmark for the portfolio, or depending on the claims, we may end up recommending a 1 to 5 year type of portfolio. So, where those funds are invested in terms of maturity length will be dependent upon the claims history of the portfolio. And now the second layer to that is the sectors that we're able to invest in. And I covered which sectors are allowable, generally high quality government securities and high quality corporate securities. So that will be part of it as well, which is market dependent and somewhat dependent upon our analysis, but more dependent upon the market and where rates are at the time. So we'll come back with those recommendations. And really, As Annette mentioned, we're a fiduciary, you know, for these funds, and what we'll do is recommend a benchmark for us to manage the funds against at the end of the day. And that's really how, you know, this board can hold us accountable for doing our job. It's how we're held accountable with the city's operating fund portfolio and the pension trust portfolio we're managing. We come up with a benchmark. We provide you with a recommendation of a benchmark. At the end of the day, it's your choice, but we'll provide the analysis and the recommendation. And then we manage against that benchmark on an ongoing basis, and you know, and hope to outperform over the long term relative to the benchmark.
So one additional question that I have, it's not a question, it's more or less perhaps a process. Knowing that our actuarial review is completed or should be completed by August 30 every year, and we obviously want to look at cost allocations back to the departments to ensure that we have appropriate cash flow. What is the turnaround time after we get the review on August 30th for us to have a recommendation and come back and meet with you in time for us to provide recommended rates to mayor and council, which is typically due? We want to say January because we know the budget process technically begins now. You end one year, you start the next year. But we would need somewhat of a timeline in terms of what your expectations would be once you got that review for that current year and when we would need to meet again.
So since we've already started based on the actuarial report we have today, generally what we see with insurance pools is not a lot of change year to year. And if that's the case, then we can get started now rather than waiting for that report to come through. However, I think 2 weeks would be a good time frame from the point we get that actuarial report to where we can come back and make that final recommendation.
Okay. So just so that you and the trustees know, and that we do have a hand up from Keith Dahmer, the draft report from the actuary was sent in last week. The final report will be sent. In fact, they may have already sent it. It was due today since they're 3 hours ahead of us. But there aren't very many changes, significant changes from last year to this year. In fact, our outstanding liability decreased a little bit from last year to this year. And then the cash flow, of course, is impacted by that. So we can have that ready. And the reason I say that is because that will drive some of the conversation and perhaps some of the questions that the trustees may have in terms of timelines and establishing a committee that would be working directly with you. Keith, your hand is up.
Hi, thanks for the presentation so far. I have a couple questions. Can you tell me a little bit more about the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool? You know, you mentioned that it had two components, one for workers' comp, I believe, and one for other types of liabilities. Is it further broken down? Are there short, medium, and long-term pools within those categories, or kind of how is that managed? And I guess what I'm looking for most importantly would be some kind of what would be the pros and the cons of us participating in that pool rather than having our own separate investment account from the municipal pool. If that makes
sure.
Sense.
Yes. Yes. So you're correct. We have two separate portfolios that we manage on the Arizona Municipal Risk Retention Pool's behalf, a property casualty portfolio and a workers' comp portfolio. And those portfolios are structured differently. The property casualty is a 1 to 5 year type of structure, and the workers' comp is a 1 to 10 year type of structure. Those are the funds that we manage on their behalf are the funds that are not needed for operating funds on an ongoing basis. So they have cash-like investments that they hold as well, in addition to the funds we manage, that are generally invested either in a money market fund or the local government investment pool or an equivalent vehicle that is essentially offers daily liquidity. However, it doesn't generally earn as much as investing longer. So you know, they have two components within each of those portfolios, and they manage the, you know, the ongoing cash needs. And that will be part of our analysis that we come back to the city with. And you know, if there's, you know, X amount total, you know, it looks like you probably need to keep 20% or whatever the number is liquid. The remaining 80% can be invested in this type of structure that's in line with your claims history. Now to your second question, Keith, you know, in terms of participating in that pool, that's really outside of our scope. We're not an administrator for that pool. We're just the investment advisor for that pool. So I'm not really sure what it would take. Ali, I think that would be a completely separate structure, though I'm not sure if you've looked into that in the past or can provide any more information on that.
So the only information that I can provide is if we were to participate in that pool, we'd have to belong to that pool. And the city of Tucson is, we would be a big fish in a little pond in terms of other municipalities. And then, of course, we would be carrying a lot of the responsibility for all of the smaller fish in the pond. So it's not something that we would be interested in doing, but it is something that we explored as a city less than a year ago, met with AMRRP along with several other entities that met with them and decided at that particular point in time that it was not advantageous for us to pursue belonging to AMRRP, primarily from the city's position, because we are a big city and we already provide many of the services that they offer, and our money pulling it together would be subjected to any type of losses that would be shared by the pool. And we have a pretty good record right now and would not want to take on those responsibilities. So Keith, I don't know if that answers your question or if I need to expand a little bit more.
I was generally under the impression that us joining the pool would be more helpful to the pool than it would be to us. So yes, your answer was in line with what my initial thoughts were. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I just have one other quick question, I think, Ellie. I'm remembering that some of our non-workers' compensation liabilities are actually structured longer than our workers' compensation liability. Am I remembering badly?
I am not remembering that at all. This is where I have to dive in a little bit deeper with Jeff, but our investments typically are more along the lines of workers' comp, because it follows the lines of those claims can stay open far longer and require more money than any type of investment that we would do with the short term for the property casualty side, which is the liability side.
I was remembering some 20-year structured settlements or something, but maybe that's not quite there, or maybe they're very small. So we can leave that for later. That's fine.
Yeah. We would need to dive into that a little bit deeper, because there aren't any structured settlements that I'm aware of that's greater than 20. Jeff, are you familiar with anything like that?
I'm not.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Thank you. That's just me misremembering.
So the process, though, to determine how we kind of do the investment is we look at a cash flow projection, and then we match the life to our cash flow needs with some cash reserve estimates. So that's the process of kind of how we ladder those investments out, and that allows us to take advantage of longer term investments with a higher yield. So that's, you know, that's the process we use across all of our different investments with the city's operating funds, as well as the trust fund. And Luke, I can't remember, but I'm thinking that between those two things, we probably are somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.3 billion of assets under management. Is that true? Is that about right?
That's correct.
So that's just kind of how that process works generally. So we'll take Allie's information and the cash flow estimates and needs, any structured settlements, any of those things we have, and that'll help us kind of plan our ladder and how we do those investments.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I see that Keith put his hand down. I'm not seeing any other questions. So, Luke, do we want to go on? Do we just want to open it up for additional questions? You tell me.
Yeah, I think we can open it up for additional questions. We have more information, you know, related to the services we provide, but, you know, I want to be mindful of everyone's time as well. So happy to cover it. But, you know, if there's particular questions, I'm also happy to send this out to the group if helpful so folks can review it.
That would be great if you could send it out. Actually, if you send it to me, I can I have this, so I can go ahead and forward this along with a copy of your PowerPoint presentation to the trustees for them to review. I think it's kind of hard at this point for them to formulate any type of questions without taking a deeper look into what it is that we're going to be doing. So I think that it's important at this point, Chairman Holland, for us to take a look at the committee composition, because that committee would be working along with myself, Luke, and Annette of bringing information back and what types of information that you would like to see based upon the services once the information is sent to you. So I think at this point, if no one has any additional questions, we really do need to look at the composition of the committee with the understanding that we know that Steve, we're going to be losing very shortly. He's a short timer with us as of technically 3 or 4 weeks his term ends. So let us know the direction, and I do know that we also have Keith's hand that has been raised, Chairman Holland.
So Ellie, I just had one quick question for you. I think you mentioned this earlier. I've forgotten also how large an effect our investment returns have on our rate setting. Are our investment returns currently significantly impacting the rates that are set every year?
No, not that I'm aware of. And Jeff, I would, if I'm wrong, you will set me straight, but it hasn't adversely impacted them or impacted them significantly.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
No, I think that's true. I think the thing to remember as we kind of go into this process and go with an investment advisor is kind of what the principles are behind our pool, are behind our investment portfolio. The number one thing is security and maintaining principal, then growth and that kind of thing. So, you know, the difference between this and investing personal funds is we're not chasing return, we're chasing security. If we get return, that's a bonus, picking it up on the way. And if it grows to a point where it does have a rate impact, good on us. But more importantly, we don't want to lose our principal, right? So that's really the kind of the main effort behind this. Getting invested is just so we get a little bit of return, maybe help cover some of our operational costs, but beyond that, keeping it safe.
So Chairman Holland, our next step would be to look at the composition of the committee, knowing that right now we have every trustee that's here currently, as well as knowing that Steve will be exiting his term. And I said about 2 weeks, it's about 3 weeks. I believe, Steve, your term ends on the 16th. So he's kind of like leaning towards you guys to tell him what to do. I can tell that right now. But now's the time for us to look at discussing what that composition would look like, whether that's two additional members. I knew it. He's got the countdown going. whether that's like two members that will be working with Luke, Annette, and myself, or whether that's three members, which would be the majority of majority representation of the trustees. So it's open up for discussion and recommendations, and then vote on determination of who those three will be, or two. Don't all speak at once.
One of those has to be a city official, right?
I can't understand you, and I don't know if it's just me or everyone else.
My mic's not working, but one of those has to be a city official.
So that city official has to be Jeff.
I'm happy to participate. So I work with Luke. We work all the time on stuff, so I have no problem working with Luke and the team at U.S. Bank now, right?
Right. I'm glad I haven't scared you off yet, Jeff.
Not yet.
So, Keith?
Does the city have a preference as to how many people are on the committee?
My preference would be to keep it less than a quorum, because I think a quorum presents a different challenge. And so if we have, you know, multiple folks, then you know, we'll have to notice the meeting, keep track, and all that other stuff. If you just have a couple of people, then I think we're going to be in good shape. Keep it in mind that we're going to follow the Arizona state statutes. So there's not a ton of wiggle room in a in our investment portfolio from the perspective of once we do the allocations, largely U.S. Bank will take care of it from there. It's not like we have to actively trade.
That is correct.
So Ellie, I'm remembering my term ends in December. But I'm also remembering you suggesting that there might be an additional reappointment coming. Is that?
There is no might to that, Keith.
Oh, so it's happened already?
Not yet. I've got to wait till it officially expires. But okay. You have not served a second term yet?
No.
I would kind of like the continuity there, if at all possible, if you're willing to remain. So it's just a matter of me officially sending that letter out and asking shortly before your term expires if you would be willing to serve a second term, and then the recommendation to mayor and council and their approval and acceptance.
So if we're sticking with two, I don't want to step on anyone's toes. So if there's anyone out there who would like to be on the investment committee, I will, I'll just say I'm willing to do it unless someone else wants to. I don't want to step on anybody's toes or keep them off of the committee if we're only having two. So I'll just put that out there for the other trustees to consider.
I'm good with that. I would be a backup if needed, Mike Hanley.
Nicole?
That sounds good. I'm willing to participate, but COVID continues in the schools like crazy, and I'm getting swallowed up a little bit. So if I could have that wiggle room in the opposite direction, I would like that. But I will gladly participate and make the time should you need me.
So at this particular point in time, Chairman Holland, we have recommendation that one be a city official, and it appears that Keith Dahmer has agreed with the agreement of Mike Hanley and Nicole, with both of them indicating that they would serve as a backup if need be. So I have this question to ask of Michelle, because we are looking at appointing a committee, there should be some general agreement. Do we need to put that in form of a motion so that that becomes part of the formal record, the establishment of the investment committee?
Yeah, I think that there should be a motion made. Are you moving to have Jeff and then Keith as the two people on the subcommittee?
Correct. And
yeah, I think we need a motion and then a vote.
So Chairman Hall,
a vote.
Thank you, Michelle.
You need a motion and then a second.
Correct.
I have a question. Can you do this with a subcommittee where you have the committee and but you also have a subcommittee already in line?
I'm not sure that a subcommittee would be necessary, because whatever the investment committee provides, it's going to come back for you to vote on as a general body before any final determination is made.
That sounds good.
And so what I would be looking at is we adhere to the quarterly meetings. So whatever the two individual trustees meet with the consultants prior to us having that quarterly meeting, documentation and material would go out. And then during that quarterly meeting, it becomes the formal process for the entire trustee board to review and vote on.
So, Allie, let me make sure I just understood what you said. Our trustees will meet formally quarterly now, and the meetings of the subcommittee will be also approximately quarterly, but before those quarterly meetings of the trustees. So I'm looking at 8 meetings a year now. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, what you're hearing is 4 meetings formally for the entire trustees.
Got it.
And one of those formal meetings will be to look at the actuarial review, approve that, and then provide your recommendations to mayor and council for cost allocations. But you would have to have some meetings with the investment. So those on the investment committee would be meeting technically, yes, 8 times. Okay. The entire board would be meeting 4 times.
4 times. Okay, got it. Thank you.
And if it's not a quorum or a formal meeting, we can do that. That doesn't have to be as formalized. And right. The review the report, because the process is once you adopt the investment policy, then we set that, and really it's just reviewing the reports on the return and being sure that we're good with the alignment and if we have any specific concerns. So, you know, don't let it sound too daunting, because that's why we pay the U.S. Bank a lot of money to do this for us, so that we don't have to spend a ton of time doing it. And they're the experts, so we let them do it.
I wasn't getting daunted. I was just wanting to be clear about what was going on. I'd forgotten that the trustees were planning on stepping up our meeting dates to formally doing quarterly. So
yeah. That is correct.
Okay, great. I'm still totally fine with that.
So we still don't have a motion on the floor, Chairman Holland. We will need a motion and a second on the floor.
So moved.
So Mike, that was Jeff. Who is the second?
I can second. Nicole Lowry second.
Okay, Chairman Holland, you have a motion and a second on the floor.
Okay. Could we repeat the motion as opposed to so moved for the record what we're...
Sure. So the motion is that we adopt myself and Keith as the investment committee of the Self-Insurance Trust Board, and that we do you need approval also, Allie, of the agreement with U.S. Bank?
Yes.
And that we approve the agreement with U.S. Bank, and with the intent of bringing back a annual report to the group, or actually quarterly investment reports to the group. How about that?
That is correct.
So does that make sense for everybody?
Well,
yes, I'll second that again.
Who's U.S. Bank?
So PFM Asset Management is under the process of being purchased by U.S. Bank. So it's a nuanced compliance thing that we're still PFM Asset Management right now, but December of this year, we will become U.S. Bank. We'll actually be PFM Asset Management, a subsidiary of U.S. Bank.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes. And sorry. No changes to the team here.
Could have clarified. I've just referred to them as U.S. Bank now.
So you have a motion and a second on the floor. There was a little bit of discussion. It's usually the other way around. But the motion is second on the floor, some expanded discussion. I think Chairman Holland, we may be ready for the vote unless there's any questions there since the motion was stated. So to make sure the motion is correct and even for Johanna as she's trying to capture it for our minutes, the motion is to adopt the appointment of Keith Dahmer and Jeff Yates as the investment committee and to approve the agreement of PFM / US Bank as the consultants for this appointment, but also I don't think we need in that motion the quarterly meetings because that's going to be part of our process.
Periodically report to the full board.
So that's a friendly amendment. Are both of you in acceptance of that, Jeff and Keith? I mean, Jeff and Nicole?
Yes, sure.
Also, yes.
Okay, Chairman Holland.
All in favor of the motion as amended and seconded, indicate by uplifted hand with your camera on.
Aye.
Well, that was a lot. None. That was a lot easier. It was a lot easier than I thought it would be, Steve. I thought we would still be here trying to decide who the committee was going to be. So.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Keith.
Absolutely. I was just going to say the same. Thank you.
And thank you, Michael and Nicole, as backup.
That's true. That's true. So I know that this may be the last formal meeting that you will see Steve at since his term ends September 16th. And I just wanted to take just a few minutes to not only thank Steve, but to really express my gratitude. He's been here from the inception. He has seen us grow. He has seen the challenges that we've been through with the fund and has provided, you know, some very pointed questions. He's also watched us go through some challenging times as we built the fund to a positive net position. So he was there from the very beginning when we were in the hole by 13 million and then see it progress to the 15 million. And as things have unfolded, as life has happened, see the depletion of that fund. He's also been able to work with us and hear the nuances we went through with the Industrial Commission as it relates to workers' comp and having us reserve appropriately and watched us go through that process. It's been very painstaking. And he stepped up to the plate when we had a chairman who resigned his position right in the middle of half of that term. So he's been a champion for the trust fund and I can't thank him enough. I'm gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss his questions. I'm also gonna miss him saying, geez, these meetings are very long. So but can't thank you enough, Steve. I'm not quite sure when your exact date will be for retirement, but your term with the City of Tucson has been very fruitful, and I can't say enough about the great things that you've helped us do. So thank you.
I appreciate that. The city is in such great hands. I'm really been really pleasing to watch the growth of the program and a great pleasure for me. And Ali, you're providing tremendous to the city's risk program. I think that the future is bright for city risk management.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Keith, your hand is up.
Well, two things now, Steve. It's been a pleasure working with you in a variety of capacities over the last 5 or 6 years, and especially on this board. So thank you very much, and I'll miss you. But enjoy your retirement. Is that what's happening?
It's on the radar. It's pretty heavily on the radar.
Okay. Well, have fun doing whatever you continue to do. Ellie, are we or am I going to need any training on what I'm allowed to do or not allowed to do on this subcommittee? If, as long as we don't have a quorum, I'm pretty free to do whatever I want. Is that, well, I mean, within ethical and rules. Right. Yeah.
We have no spending authority.
Right.
So, Keith, part of that training is the investment policy that was provided at our prior meeting. We want to make sure that we adhere to that particular piece in terms of the responsibility for the city. But when you meet with Jeff and Luke and Annette, and I'll probably be hanging around somewhere so that I can stay in the know. I don't think there's any type of training that you will need. I'm going to be looking toward Luke and Annette to guide us, understanding that the city has an investment policy that's put into place, which they are familiar with, working with our other divisions that they actually provide consultations to. But I also would be looking for you as a trustee, knowing your financial background, and Jeff as a trustee and a representative from the city, knowing his financial background, to ensure that we are staying legal, that we are adhering to the Arizona revised statutes, and that recommendations that you, the both of you, would bring forward would be done in concert with Luke and Annette according to the statute and according to the city's investment policy.
I just didn't know if there were any obvious legal tightropes that I could trip and fall over when we're doing work outside of the trust board meeting. So,
not that I'm aware of, Jeff, right, unless you're aware of something that I'm not.
I'm not aware of any unless there's any conflicts, but I don't think in your case, I don't think it'd be really hard to have any.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Right. Okay. And we're pretty, we're going to be pretty okay because we're not in violation of any open meeting laws because we don't have a quorum. So whenever you want to set a meeting, we can set it how often you want to meet, minimum 4 times, but it may be more depending upon the information that Luke and Annette find out after reviewing, you know, the actuarial report and the assumptions that they will come up with. You may have questions. You may not, but it's going to be driven by the information that's provided from Luke and Annette's findings and assumptions that they make and based upon the market at that time.
So for example, any investments that I may or may not have or investments that I may or may not make on a personal nature, could that impact my role on this investment committee?
It will, keeping in mind what the city's investment policy is, there cannot be any conflict. So if there are certain investments that Luke and Annette are suggesting, if you already are investing in those particular investments, then yes, it would be a conflict. And that's where the backups would need to then come in at that particular point in time.
And then I would be barred from action as a trustee also if we took formal action, right? I wouldn't even be recommending them as part of, okay, got it. Yeah. I need to think about these things.
That would be true for any trustee.
Right.
And we're happy to set up a separate meeting if it's helpful, Keith, to go through the investment policy. I know Allie and Jeff are both very familiar with it, but we would be happy to review that with you outside if that's helpful.
And I really don't think it's going to be any problem because the only thing significant that I have, all of my stuff is with the Arizona State Retirement System. So I doubt there's going to be any challenges. So, okay. Thank you, though. I appreciate that, Luke.
Thank you. So, Chairman Holland, I think this brings us to the conclusion of today's special meeting. We've had the presentation. We've established the committee. What I will be looking for is after Luke and Annette have time and have reviewed the most recent actuarial report, that's going to drive when our next meeting will be with the trustees and what will happen at that particular point in time is Joanna or myself will be sending out notices looking at an agreeable date. We're hoping by then Mike will be back in sunny Tucson instead of Montana.
It's very difficult to do. I'm looking out at the lake right now.
Yeah, but I don't foresee, and in fact, I will let the trustees know now that we did indicate that our meetings through the calendar year would be virtual, so it will still be a virtual format, and that's probably the safest thing to do right now, knowing where we are with the Delta variant and where we are as a city and county with our numbers, so it would be best at this point to keep them virtual. So be looking for an email from us. Keith, we'll be back in touch with you and Jeff in terms of meetings with Luke and Annette. And I think, like they said, it would be at least a couple of weeks after they look at the draft. Actually, not the draft. It will be finalized after today of the FY21 review that the actuarius will be providing to us. So not having any additional questions, Chairman Holland, I think we're ready for adjournment.
I think we can adjourn by consensus.
That is correct.
Best wishes, everybody.
Same to you, Steve, but we'll be in contact. Thank you all. I appreciate everyone.
All right. Have a great day, everyone.
Happy trails, Steve.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye now.